emphasis month here, the month of October for Kentwood Baptist Church. And I was asked by the deacon board this morning to kind of give a sermonette devotional intro to this month, and to kind of get us going and our hearts going in the right direction. And to be honest with you, when they talked to me about that, I got excited, because Naomi and my hearts are in missions work. We were in the state of Utah for 7 years for myself, 6 years married to Naomi. So she was there 6 years with me doing church planting in a LDS community. And God really grabbed a hold of my heart as I grew to understand His Word in Bible college and understand His heart for missions. He gave me a passion. And really, what I pray that the Lord gives us together as a church family as we go throughout this month is a just rejuvenation of our hearts and our fire for missions around the world, missions here locally and missions globally. I am a firm believer that in order to be a healthy church family, that we need to be passionate about missions. We need to be passionate about God's mission in this world. Every local church needs that. We actually, when we were in Utah planning our churches, one of the main things that we started on our budgets when we would start getting families together is giving towards missions. That was one of the first things we always tried to start. As we were missionary church plants ourselves, we wanted people to see God's vision and how we could use even our little local assembly to bless what He's doing to the ends of the earth. So, again, I pray, I'm excited, and I pray over this next month that God would light a fire in each one of us for His glory, for His mission in this world. And really, as I was thinking over it this last past week, when I knew I was going to be doing this intro here, I was thinking through all the different theological truths of why is mission so important, and what should I share? And I mean, it just, things just kept going through my head. And what I came back to is just answering the question, why? Why are we doing a missions emphasis month at Kentwood Baptist Church? We have 12 months in the year, right? Why would we use one out of every 12 months every year to emphasize missions work? That, to me, shows it's really important. So I hope to you, as our board has led in this for so long, long before I was here, that you can see how important this is to Kentwood Baptist Church. And I hope we can all get on board with this. But we're going to be examining that. Why is it necessary for a local church to have a strong understanding and a passionate drive for missions work? Why is that so important? And why is it needed to be a healthy local church? And really, as our time is short, I just wanted to share one simple truth. And that's really, it comes from our sermon title this morning. My sermonette is entitled, God's Heart for Missions. God's Heart for Missions. And this is just a clear, hopefully bold statement for you. Beloved, God the Father has a passionate drive for missions. It's the heartbeat of God. It's the heartbeat of Jesus Christ. So if it is vitally important to Him, if it is His heartbeat, as His children who are called by His name, we too must have a passionate drive for missions work. And I hope you know how blessed we are. We have so many missionaries that are a part of our church family who are in missions work, who sometimes they can't be with us every week, but they're here a lot of times. And they're involved in ministry, Bible translation. Joshua Hedges right now is in Africa, in Chad, translating the Bible into the local language so that they can open up God's word like we do here in the United States in English. Some of us speak Spanish. Some of us speak other languages, but we have it in our tongue that we can know the words of the one true living God. And one of our church congregation is over in ensuring, being used by God, ensuring that that is true in Chad as well. And there's many other examples, but there are people in our church congregation that I hope over this next month that you will just latch on to and ask them questions and ask them about what God has led, how God has led them in their life to the mission and the call that they are involved in. And hopefully, again, God will stir us together as one family in Christ. So, again, we're going to just examine a few verses in Scripture that really bring out the reality of God's heart for missions. But before I do, I'd like to share a quick, hopefully quick, illustration with you to kind of get you going in the right direction of why is it that if God's heart is for this, our heart should be for this. And Pastor Jack always tells me, use illustrations, Larry, because it drives it home. So here we go. My name is Larry Donald Fox II. Who here knew that? I'll be honest with you. When I was in school, having a name, Larry Donald Fox II, got me some laughs of, oh, Donald Duck. Some people were a little bit, for example, my wife, when we were dating, looking towards marriage, and I talked to her about having a children that I wanted to name my son Larry, out of love, Naomi looked at me and said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, yeah, I... Wait a minute, that's my name. Do you not like my name?" And God's changed her mind. We have a son named Larry now. So, but I wanted to emphasize Larry Donald Fox II because that suffix on the end, number two, means that I am named after my father who is here with us. And there are some who I know who are juniors or somewhere down the line that have been named after family members, and they don't like it. I don't know why. Maybe there's some pressure that goes into that. But I can tell you, when I was young, I absolutely loved being named after my dad. I looked up to him. I wanted to be him. I wanted to be like him. I valued the things that he valued. I despised the things that he despised. And I am proud to tell you today, I am a big fan of the maize and blue, and I try and keep green and white and scarlet and gray off my kids because my dad is a Michigan fan, and therefore I'm a Michigan fan because I love my dad, and I want to be like him. And as I grew up, really desiring his love, his affection, I remember thinking of really wanting his approval. Really wanted him to approve and be proud of me and what I was doing. And it's incredible now, as a 37-year-old man, I still, in my head, can remember two specific examples that really bring this out of when I just felt like on cloud nine because my dad went above and beyond to tell me that he was proud of me. And the impact that that had on me. And I know that other people have this that aren't necessarily named after their parents or their father, but I just, for some reason, I always connected that. And the second story I can tell you of when I did some things I probably shouldn't have done. I was staying at home, and my parents were on vacation, and came back home, and that morning, I wasn't anticipating them coming home, and my friend and I were going to the beach. I grew up in Granville, and we're going to go to the beach, and my friend Tim looks at me, and he goes, "You know, the house is kind of dirty. We should probably clean it up." And I put a piece of gum in my mouth. This is how terrible I was. And I took the wrapper and I was like, ah, we got time. And I flicked it as a joke. And we went to the beach and we came home, and my parents came home a day early. And we drove past the front of the house, and I was terrified. And I was like, Tim, please, please come inside with me. And he was a better man than I. He went into the house with me, and we faced my dad, and I was just ready for whatever he had to bring to me. And what he did impacted me, and it stuck with me to this day. He was calm. He was collected. And he just said, you know, Larry, I'm really disappointed. And then he walked away. And I was like, oh, that is the worst. Because I so desperately wanted his approval. I likened myself to him. I wanted to be like him. And him telling me that was worse than yelling at me. He was disappointed in me. And again, those just show my heart as someone, a son of Larry Donald Fox Sr., named after him. I just desperately loved him and still do. And for those of you who know our family, every single one of our children, this has impacted me so much, every single one of our children is named after someone of great influence in my life because of how the Lord has led that way in my life. So I have Larry Donald Fox III. I have Julia, my mom. Julia Fox is my daughter. One of our daughters is named after Naomi's mother and so forth. So why am I bringing all that up? Why am I using this illustration? Well, because, again, as I look back over that as a Christian man now at 37 years old, I understand that that child heart that's even grown up into a man, that I can liken that to my relationship with Christ. I can liken that to my relationship with my Father in heaven, that the things that he loves, that those are the things that I want to love. The things that he despises, those are the things I want to cast off. Those are the things I don't want in my life. I want to have his values. I want to have his truth. I care desperately. At the end of my life, I want to stand before him and have him say, well done. I long for those words. I long for his approval because he's my Father and I love him and he loves me. So as I was going through this week and thinking through of God's heart, and why should my heart be so affectionately for his heart and for the things that he cares about, it's because he tells us that he is our Father. And that relationship just drives us. The loving relationship of a father to a son drives us to want the things that he wants, to value what he says above all else. So hopefully that helps us get into what we're going to be talking about as we see God's heart for missions, because it matters to him. And really, as my time is getting a little bit away, we're going to just simply look at the gospel message itself and how the gospel message is a mission-oriented message. Jesus Christ, who he is and what he has done, is missions-oriented. And we need to understand that. As God has transformed our life, we need to see the picture of Christ, the message that he has proclaimed in himself, and what he has done, and see the mission at the heart, at the center of it, and then live for that mission ourselves. So this is easy to see in Scripture. Matthew 28, quick turn there with me. Just quickly, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the part of Scripture that we see Jesus giving the great mission, the great commission of the church. Starting in verse 18, it says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So as we go through the great commission from Christ, we see the command. The command is simple. It's to make disciples. We are to go and make disciples. How do we make disciples? We make disciples by baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey, teaching them to observe all that Jesus Christ has commanded us. And then we have this go added in at the beginning. The emphasis is to make disciples. But we are to go and we are to make disciples. Where? Of all nations, every tribe, every tongue, every people group. We are to go and we are to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And the neat thing, as I went through that this week and I was thinking through the logistics of it, is I started meditating on Jesus Christ, on who he is and what he has done. And you know, the more I study Scripture, the more I realize that Jesus never tells us to do something that he has not already done and modeled for us himself. For example, when Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us, Jesus Christ didn't just tell us to do that. He did it. Right? When did he do that? Tell me, shout it out. When did Jesus do that? On the cross, as he was being crucified and murdered and mocked and ridiculed, he cried out to the Father and he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Jesus Christ is our living example. He doesn't tell us just to do something. He does it. He shows us how. He models it. And likewise with the Great Commission, I want us to see that Jesus is our living example of the great mission of the church. In Genesis, we find the creation account. We find God, eternal, self-existent, has everything he needs in himself, and he decides to make everything. And by the word of his mouth, the heavens were made. We find in chapter 3, the fall of creation and the fall of mankind, those created in his image. And in chapter 3, we see God bringing cursing upon his creation, cursing upon the serpent, cursing upon the woman, cursing upon the man. And in Genesis 3, 14 and 15, it says this. And I want you to hear the heart of God in this. As he's bringing his curse upon creation, upon the serpent, listen to where his heart is. "And the Lord God said to the serpent, 'Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity,'" here it is, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is the first gospel message that we have in Scripture. The picture here of the seed of the woman having his foot on the head of the serpent is a picture of dominance. It's a picture of conquering. And what God is saying is that there is a seed who is going to come from this woman. And he is going to stamp out and crush what the serpent has accomplished today. He is going to right the wrong. Immediately, as sin enters the world and death through sin, God has the answer. God promises salvation through an offspring of the woman. And we know that offspring today to be Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. He has come. He has crushed the head of the serpent. His heel was bruised. He died on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. We have been healed because of what he has done. And then think about this. Think about John 3:16. The verse that all of us learn when we're really little. What is at the heart of God when he says this at the beginning? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." For God so loved you and me and the whole world that he promised to send a seed. And then he made good on that promise and he sent Jesus Christ, the God-man, to suffer in our place. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later that those who would have faith in him would not perish, but have what? Amen. Amen. It is the love of God that moved him and sent him on this mission. God the Father, I've heard it said before that value is demonstrated in how much someone is willing to pay to get something. Well, God the Father gave the ultimate gift. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate price, his shed blood on the cross. He's done this to win sinners to himself. The Father sent the Son with the message. He proclaimed the message the Father gave him to proclaim, and then he lived it out and died for us and rose from the dead. And again, his love is what motivated him for this, and his love for whom? This brings us back to Matthew 28, connection with John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Every tribe, tongue, and nation, make disciples of all nations. Every people group. Why? Because every people group is valuable to God. For every person is created in the image of God. Their life is divinely given by him. Sovereignly given by him, I should say. The gospel itself is God sending his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ going, preaching the good news to those who are in darkness, proclaiming truth, so that man might be reconciled to God. This is the heart of our God in missions, beloved. The gospel message shows us that God is passionate about sending forth his messengers to bring his truth that lost souls would be saved. So we too must be passionate about this. That doesn't mean that we have to go ourselves, but it means that we are passionate about it and we send and we want to know what's going on and we pray for it. We pray that God would bring his truth and his peace to this world and his joy in his life through us and through the church and through the missionaries that we support. Now, for this next month, we are going to be having different missionaries who are here from different mission organizations. God has given them different passions, different gifts. And I pray that as we look at God's mission and what he's doing, that again, he would light within us, expose us to something different, maybe a passion that we don't have, and expose us to that so that we can get on board as a church family, as individuals, more holy with what God is doing. So be praying for that for these next 3 weeks. Be praying for that as Amy will be coming up and sharing with Life Matters. What's going on? What's this mission about? How can we be involved? How can we pray? How can we support? Get on fire for God and for his mission in this world, because God is passionate about his mission being worked out in you and his mission being worked out through you. So I'm going to close this time now in prayer and ask that God would accomplish this. And then we will invite Amy to come on up and to share what's going on with Life Matters. Would you please pray with me? Father God, thank you for truth, for not leaving us in our helpless estate, but showing us, God, what is truly valuable. Lord, I pray that as we go throughout this next month, these next few weeks, God, that you would show us the things that are eternal, the things that do not pass away, that you are passionate about. And Lord, I pray again that you would, as you teach us, that you would burden our hearts as a church family to be involved in what you're doing in this world, to live our things not for the live our lives not for the temporal things, but to give our time, our talents, our treasures for the things that do not pass away. Lord, show us what you value so we can value it. Show us the things, Lord, that are sinful, that you despise, so that we can cast it off, so that we can lovingly share with others what is destructive, and we can share the truth of Jesus Christ. May we care more about you, Lord. Have the fear of the Lord drive us and not the fear of man. Would you help us with that, Father? We ask and pray in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I've already introduced her twice now. So Amy is here to share with us from Life Matters. So thank you so much for being here.
Good morning, everyone. It is my pleasure to be here to speak with you about Life Matters Worldwide. Life Matters Worldwide has been an organization that's valued life since the 1980s. It's located right here in Grand Rapids, the center, and for the past 37 years, Life Matters and its partners have worked to establish pregnancy resource centers and pregnancy care centers in Michigan, the United States, and even across the world. We've also worked to minister to those who are experiencing the challenges of life, that are terminally ill or handicapped and need assistance. We've partnered with missionaries to do this in the countries in which they're called. Through the work of Life Matters, thousands of lives have been saved and cared for with compassion. Countless families have chosen life and celebrated the legacy of children. What's so exciting is that with that choice, so many have come to know Christ as their personal saviors. We are so excited to continue this ministry and build on this momentum, this historical decades of success and blessing from God. As Larry mentioned, it is clear to us at Life Matters that human life is at the very center of God's heart, that he loves us, and that he wants a relationship with us. In 1 John 4:9, we read, "This is how God showed his love to us, that he sent his only son to the world to give us life through him." And while we know that that means that he offers us eternal life, we also know that it opens up a relationship with him in this life, that we can be living and examples for a life focused on Christ here on earth. So we have this great foundation on which to build and share with others. Through the years, we have established and supported 135 pregnancy care centers in Michigan. They have provided services to over 53,000 people across the state in this time frame. This includes 1,200 pregnancy tests and consultations. This also includes ultrasounds and material resources that are worth millions of dollars. But even more exciting is the reality that over 7,000 families chose life for their children. And while we celebrate this reality and are encouraged by the ongoing choice of life, we also face an environment where the sanctity of human life is challenged on a regular basis. Michigan has 24 abortion clinics who perform 25,000 abortions annually. And so we see that the need still exists and is growing despite the work of Life Matters. So our assignment that we've received from God is to mobilize, equip, and encourage pregnancy care centers throughout Michigan, the Midwest, and nationally. As we've prayed and met as a board for vision casting, we believe God is calling us to support pregnancy care centers so that everyone who experiences a crisis pregnancy has access to what we're defining as a fully equipped pregnancy care center. And so, because pregnancy care centers are at the root of our service, at the people who are welcoming families into their doors, I want to share with you what a fully equipped center looks like. That's a center that's fully staffed to meet the needs of the community they serve. They're fully funded, whether that's by their own resources and their own efforts in funding, or whether it's through support of affiliations like Life Matters, that provide medical equipment and services such as ultrasounds and medically trained staff to explain the ultrasounds to individuals. They should have an effective board of directors that are making sound decisions about their own centers, that they have connections with churches in their communities to support the families that they serve, that they are equipped to share the gospel, and that they have resources to share with families about how to connect with churches, that they have resources with biblical foundations to explain the gospel and the choice of life, that they have education programs to build healthy families so that those who choose life are not expected to go forth alone, but have support to be successful. And that they have equipment for technology and an online presence. Frankly, that is something that's new. It's a challenge that we've been embracing and have to develop as we continue to change and meet new needs of this generation and in this particular time with the pandemic where so much needs to be available online. And that is something that Life Matters thinks that we can successfully help small pregnancy care centers achieve by through affiliation and a strategic network. So when we do that, we want to form regional alliances. Here in the West Michigan area, we do have those alliances and we regularly meet, but need to expand that further so that those who attend achieve the appropriate training that they need on a regular basis, that they can continue to network with one another and have a mentoring program for those who are doing the difficult counseling and leadership at pregnancy care centers. We would love to provide these professional resources on a broader scale. Technology is the newest one in which we're looking into, and so that we can provide those services in a global scale that our affiliates can join onto and use as well. We have and continue to offer material resources that are used in counseling sessions, used to point families to the gospel, used to help counselors and volunteers learn how to walk families through the decision for life. We continue meeting with churches like yours to encourage church engagement so that we can ensure that families become connected when they choose life and they choose Jesus. We want them to be surrounded by a church family as well. And also opportunities to care for the workers themselves. This is difficult work. This is challenging work, often work that leaves them feeling the need to be filled, feeling the need for encouragement themselves. And so we offer those opportunities for training as well. So as we look at what is available to the community, we think there are so many good organizations that have focused on policy and changing the laws and regulations around abortion. But our heart is to be at the grassroots, be at the center of where these services are provided, so that we can really be the hands and feet of Jesus in this time, that we can work on that promise that Jesus doesn't just want us to have eternal life someday in the future. He wants us to live life fully in a community of believers with a relationship with him now. So one other verse that we often reference is Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. And I'll read this for you as I close. This day I called the heavens and the earth as witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thank you for allowing me to come speak with you today. I would be happy to answer any questions after the service today.